Good morning, this is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. Iraqi warplanes reportedly have hit three Iranian cities on the Western Front, Abadan, Dezful, and Avaz. Kuwait's news agency reports the raids and Tehran radio interrupted regular broadcast schedules to mention them as well. Abadan is a major refining center. This is the latest in what Iran calls the final offensive, an all-out drive which has chewed into 100 square miles of disputed territory in that 29-month-long war. Larry Pintak is in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad.
Khomeini's forces are apparently trying to break through to the Iraqi garrison town of Alamara, 40 miles to the west, and cut the main north-south highway linking Baghdad and the southern port of Basra. The Baghdad High Command has released no new Iranian casualty figures since claiming some 7,000 Iranian dead Monday. Recent communiques say only that Iranian losses are very heavy. Iraq refuses to release its own casualty figures. Western observers here in the Iraqi capital and commanders on the front believe Iran has yet to unleash the full brunt of the offensive. Fighting so far, they believe, has been designed to soften up the Iraqi lines. A larger assault, some think, could come tomorrow, the anniversary of Khomeini's revolution. Larry Pintak, CBS News, Baghdad.
The Israeli cabinet meets for the third day today to decide what to do about the commission finding that Defense Minister Sharon be sacked for his responsibility in the Lebanese refugee killings. Bob Faw is in Jerusalem.
Publicly, Sharon insists he's not giving up, but some who know Prime Minister Begin well say Begin is hoping Sharon will do just that, will relent and go. Speculation that Sharon might step aside increased yesterday after the defense chief told cabinet ministers the censured military leaders must be protected. The inference, if they're spared, Sharon may be willing to be sacrificed. But there's no decision yet, and the opposition Labor Party says that in itself is an outrage. Begin got some good news this morning when one of his key coalition partners decided not to desert him and join the Labor opposition if Begin tries to form a new government. The National Religious Party also told the Prime Minister Sharon must go. But even though he's bleeding badly, Sharon is the one who's still calling the shots. And the question is whether he'll make it easy on the government and bow out gracefully or make the government bow out with him. Bob Faw, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Negotiations between Israel and Lebanon on troop withdrawals continue to go through the motions.
Listen as a man enters the most surprising back seat in driving.
Hop in the back, Bill.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning. Morning. Morning.
What's that?
That is all the space in the back of this new Nissan Stanza.
Presenting the roomy front-wheel drive Nissan Stanza at your Datsun dealer. It's the economy car with a cavernous back seat. But the real surprise is the way this beauty delivers. Sparkling performance and outstanding mileage. EPA estimated 29 mpg, 43 highway with 5 speed. Use 29 for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage lower.
Move over, Bill. I have to pick up Harry.
Hi, everybody.
Morning.
What's wrong? Oh, your first time in the back of a Nissan Stanza.
Stanza.
Stanza. Datsun, we are driven, driven, driven.
See the roomy new Nissan Stanza at your Datsun dealer now.
Vice President Bush has now completed his tour of European countries, and Robert Pierpoint reports from London.
The Vice President had two objectives when he set out on this seven-nation tour: to persuade America's NATO allies that President Reagan is serious about wanting arms reductions, and to learn from America's allies how much NATO must compromise its negotiating positions with the Soviet Union. In his news conference here this morning, Bush seemed to feel he had accomplished both objectives.
I will now go back and talk to our president and thoroughly discuss with him the recommendations I've received. I will not go beyond what our negotiating position might be as a result of these talks.
Bush also explained that even if the NATO allies begin installing the American nuclear missiles this December as scheduled, those missiles could be withdrawn if some agreement can be worked out with the Soviet Union. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, London.
As Bush left England, the Church of England opened its debate on a ban the bomb statement, parallel to that being written by American Catholic bishops, a unilateral renunciation of nuclear weapons. The Reverend Peter Belts, Dean of Durham, is for it.
The use of nuclear weapons seems to be indiscriminate and probably not achieving a relative proportional amount of good. And so, in the name of justice, the use of nuclear weapons is to be proscribed.
But layman Paul Rippon says the horrors of conventional war are terrible enough, and Christians have supported it.
73,367 men were blown to such little bits in the Battle of the Somme that they could not be found or identified. 50 million died in the Second World War, most of them innocent non-combatants. If that really makes any difference to God's reckoning.
Runcie, the head of the Anglican Church, is yet to be heard. Harold Willens is a successful California businessman associated with the anti-war movement for years, now spearheading a nuclear freeze drive. Yesterday, there was Willens in the White House presenting the president a petition.
The most surprising thing was his willingness to let me come in. Indeed, as I started to walk out, I said, oh, by the way, thanks very much for letting me be the messenger and for not chopping off the messenger's head. And we both laughed about that.
The Saudi Arabian oil minister, Sheikh Yamani, says in an interview published today that the OPEC price of $34 for a barrel of oil is bound to be cut. And unless OPEC gets together, then he says there will be chaos. Lech Wałęsa has appeared before a military prosecutor in Warsaw in answer to a summons. It's believed the regime wants him to bear witness in the trials of Jacek Kuron and other dissidents who now are facing serious charges from the communist regime. Wałęsa says he will appear as ordered but will not say anything to get his colleagues in any deeper. Four Democratic presidential hopefuls appeared at a party fundraiser in New York City last night, and so did Chris Kelly.
The event is called the Democrats' Cattle Show, and on display were presidential hopefuls Cranston of California, Bumpers of Arkansas, Glenn of Ohio, Hart of Colorado. They showed up to impress the party faithful and blow their own horns with all due modesty. Some examples from Cranston and Bumpers.
I am the front runner today in one sense. I'm the only avowed declared candidate.
I think I would be a fine president, but I think I have a vision.
Since the 1984 convention is a long time off, some of the would-bes will likely become has-beens, and getting a blessing now from a politician like New York Mayor Ed Koch is hard to come by.
I find them all acceptable, and when the time comes, I undoubtedly will select one who is even more acceptable from those that are acceptable.
Instead of giving speeches, the hopefuls were given running shoes. John Glenn got the point.
I think the length of the campaign now means we may be able to come back and get some retreads on these things a little bit later.
Walter Mondale, considered by many the Democratic frontrunner, didn't show up. His office said he was too busy polishing up a speech, the one he'll give later this month, declaring his candidacy. Chris Kelly, CBS News, New York.
This morning, the Aga Khan knows how Richard III felt. He, too, is being asked to cough up a kingdom for a horse. Those thieves who stole Khan's racehorse Shergar want $3.1 million for his safe return. An anonymous caller now wants three British racing journalists to meet in a hotel in Belfast and talk more about the terms. Shergar, already syndicated for $20 million, was stolen from a farm in Ireland night before last. Dollar weaker against European currencies today, gold slightly ahead. There may be a break in the trucker strike later today. The leader, Michael Parkhurst, has scheduled a news conference.
We bet you're gonna want one, betcha.
Listen to what the experts say about the new Nissan Pulsar NX, the sporty new coupe at your Datsun dealer. Auto Week magazine raves,
it's a little jewel of a car from Nissan that runs like a fine timepiece and is more fun than a room full of Pac-Man.
And on the practical side,
overall ride, pretty good.
It's a ride that's quality built by Nissan, the most demanding car builders in the world. Motor Trend's cover story says the Nissan Pulsar NX
sports a nose with more than a small resemblance to the Porsche 924 Turbo.
With standard sunroof, retractable headlights, four-speaker stereo, and distinctive styling, the Nissan Pulsar NX costs half as much as it looks.
Hey, 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 we bet you're gonna want one.
See the sporty new Nissan Pulsar NX at your Datsun dealer.
News break. Charles Osgood, CBS News. It was 1933. Adolf Hitler had just become Chancellor of Germany. And across the English Channel, the Oxford University Debating Society, the Oxford Union, passed the following resolution. That this house will in no circumstances fight for king and country. Last night, 50 years later, they debated and voted on the same question now. Stand by.
Big pressures, big worries, big dinners, big hurries. Here's what your head and stomach need. Big relief. Not Prolate, not Tums, not aspirins. Here's one that gives you big relief.
When you need big relief, you need Alka-Seltzer. It neutralizes the excess acid your stomach has churned out and speeds relief to your aches and pains. Read and follow label directions.
Alka-Seltzer.
America's home remedy.
If you're looking for a great car insurance buy, check with State Farm. Good car insurance value is where it's always been, at State Farm Mutual. For years, we've been known for our low rates and outstanding service. And that's why so many drivers come to State Farm and stick with State Farm year after year. Check your Yellow Pages. There's a State Farm agent near you. Check with State Farm.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm.
Would the Oxford Union vote now not to fight for Queen and country as it did a half century ago? Last night, Conservative MP Douglas Hogg spoke.
Mr. President, to give the impression of weakness, to adopt the language and policy of pacifism, to be irresolute on matters of international significance, encourages an aggressor to promote national interest by force or threats of force.
But today, the issue is seen by many as part of the issue of avoiding a nuclear holocaust. Undergraduate Malcolm Bull.
What right have we to take upon ourselves the responsibility of saying these are so important, our tradition of democracy, the Houses of Parliament, the monarchy, these are so important to us that we take it upon ourselves to burn to death 50 million people in their cause?
Causes. Helen John of the Greenham Common Women's Peace Movement.
I believe that women have got a very important role to play at this time, because it would seem clear that the traditional role that men have been trapped into of thinking it's the correct thing to do, to bear arms and kill one another, is a role they have been trapped into, and perhaps women can come forward boldly now and say, this must stop.
And then, as broadcast last night by the BBC, Lord Beloff, the historian, rose to say that he, as a 19-year-old pacifist in 1933, had ardently supported that resolution not to fight, one which perhaps was taken as a signal, a wrong signal, by Herr Hitler.
I feel that those of us who voted for the original motion, and many of us are no longer around, have perhaps a duty to make atonement. And because I and my friends were arrogant, and because people may, their deaths may have been hastened to a very, very tiny extent by the follies in which we indulged, I both wish to apologize to the memory of those friends and to beseech this House not to make the same mistake again and to vote against this motion.
And they didn't. 50 years on, Oxford undergraduates overwhelmingly rejected the motion. 187 said they wouldn't fight, but 416 said, yes, I would, for Queen and country.
Now this.
Goodbye, MASH. So long, 4077. It was great while it lasted, but it's coming to an end. In a special issue, TV Guide gives a farewell salute to MASH, featuring Alan Alda's favorite episodes, a tribute to the family of amazing characters, and a last look at the troupe of performers, writers, and producers that made the show so remarkable. A farewell to MASH in the new issue of TV Guide.
Newsbreak, Charles Osgood, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Richard C. Hottley. The Church of England came to grips today with the issue of nuclear disarmament and turned down the proposal that Britain disarm unilaterally. Dan Revive reports.
4 months ago, a study group of the Church of England published The Church and the Bomb, calling on Britain to give up unilaterally its nuclear weapons and to ban NATO missiles from Britain. The book said that the bomb is immoral. Today, the Church of England rejected that book, deciding that a higher morality requires nuclear deterrence, having the bomb so no one will dare attack Britain. That was the position taken by the Anglican leader, Archbishop of Canterbury, Robert Runcie.
I cannot accept unilateralism as the best expression of a Christian's prime moral duty to to be a peacemaker.
The Archbishop, turning from religion to politics, said that if Britain gave up its nuclear weapons, NATO would be weakened and the Soviet Union would never make concessions in arms control negotiations. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
Last November in the United States, the National Conference of Catholic Bishops began drafting a pastoral letter on nuclear war. One strongly supported suggestion was that it condemn any first use of nuclear weapons and call for freezing the production and deployment of such weapons in the Soviet Union and the United States. We asked Russell Shaw, spokesman of the National Bishops' Conference, if today's action in Britain would affect the American churchman's position.
The Catholic bishops up to this time have not been suggesting or advocating unilateral nuclear disarmament. What they've been discussing instead is the desirability of arms control negotiations of a bilateral nature.
More news in a moment.
Bacon. Arm or bacon? I love that smell when I am waking. I hear it sizzle, hear it start to pop. One crisp bite, and I'm afraid I just won't stop. Oh, bacon. Arm or bacon? It's the bacon you'll be taken with for sure.
Sale for Bargain Hunters is on now. Get 25% off your choice of SuperGuard steel-belted radios or SuperGuard 25 belted tires, both built for performance and durability. And for smooth rides, save 20% on Sears Heavy Duty Plus shocks, only $7.99 each, installation extra. And there are more values at the Sale for Bargain Hunters. At Sears Tire and Auto Centers, we install confidence. Sears.
The Israeli cabinet met again today, the third session on the political aftermath of the Beirut massacre. Interior Minister Yosef Borg told reporters he expects the cabinet will adopt the recommendations of the investigating commission that Defense Minister Ariel Sharon resign or be dismissed. Sharon was not there as today's meeting began, but the army officers whom the commission had censured were there to defend themselves. Outside the building, several hundred people demonstrated in support of the Begin government. Saudi oil minister Sheikh Yamani says a cut is inevitable in the official OPEC oil price of $34 a barrel, and he predicts a price war unless OPEC member nations can agree jointly on the size of the cut. Attempts to agree on price and production levels ended in failure last month at the OPEC meeting in Geneva. The head of the Independent Truckers Association says his regional representatives are gathering in Washington today for a vote on whether to end the truckers' strike. Michael Parker said 40 of his officers are likely to vote to end the strike later today if Congress appears willing to consider the truckers' problems. The strike was called 11 days ago to protest new fuel taxes and road user fees. Stocks and other news after this.
Here's money-saving news for homeowners. The Pink Panther's offering a Pink Power rebate. Right now, if you buy 10 rolls or more of Pink fiberglass insulation to add to your home, you get a $10 rebate from Owens Corning. $10. See your participating Owens Corning supplier for details and your insulation requirements. But hurry, the $10 Pink Power insulation rebate ends February 20th.
Whenever I say Smucker's, most people think strawberry or grape. Well, that's fine. But the Smucker people make more than two natural flavors. They make 24. Isn't that something? And the best part is that our red raspberry, orange, marmalade, peach, as well as all the other 21 flavors, are naturally made. With Smucker's naturally good jams, jellies, and preserves, we don't fool around with any preservatives or artificial flavoring. And that's why we mean it when we say, with a name like Smucker's, it has to be good.
The Labor Department reports today that first-time claims for unemployment benefits were up sharply during the final week of January. More than 500,000 people filed for jobless benefits in the week ending January 29th, 50,000 more than the week before. Firefighters in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, are investigating the cause of a fire that burned out of control for more than 3 hours today at the historic Gettysburg Hotel. No one was injured. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 8.74. Volume on the big board, nearly 38 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials, 1,076.16. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.
News, notes, and comment. I'm Harry Reasoner, CBS News. One man's diet in a moment.
Next time the family comes over, you can't be sure the cat won't sit in Aunt Julia's lap again. Or that little Felicia won't show everyone her latest dance step. But there is one thing you can be sure of, that the Golden Star boneless turkey you serve will be 100% real turkey, as tender and moist as always. And no trouble to prepare or serve.
Honey, that was a delicious turkey you cooked up.
Golden Star boneless turkey by Armour. One thing you can be sure of.
This is Jason Robards for the National Council on Alcoholism.
I'm Jason Robards, and I'm alcoholic. I used to think my drinking meant I was a tough guy. But when I found out alcoholism is a disease that could have killed me, I learned how to live without drinking. And now I know how tough I really am.
Get help like Jason Robards got. Call the National Council on Alcoholism in your area.
I'm living proof you don't have to die for a drink.
A public service message in cooperation with the Advertising Council.
Here's some news from China by way of United Press International. Wang Qingyao, identified only as a young man who lives in Sichuan Province, eats grass every day. In the words of a Peking newspaper, grass now makes up two-thirds of his diet, green grass in the spring, summer, and autumn, and straw in the winter, sometimes with pine nuts and fir seeds. Okay, so one man's diet is another man's lawn. I say let the fellow eat grass. There's a lovely poetry to it in any event. How better to get close to the earth, to commune with its green vitality, than to down a heaping helping of grass? My only concern is that this nice little idiosyncrasy doesn't get exported. We Americans are mad for Chinese food, so mad that we tend, I think, to be more than a little uncritical about it. We need to know nothing more than that it comes from one of the provinces we can barely pronounce, and we're eager to try it. I wouldn't be at all surprised to find on some sophisticated dragon-emblazoned menu an entry reading, fresh green summer grass, Sichuan style, with pine nuts and fir seeds. Nor would I be surprised to see a quartet of sophisticated diners excitedly tying on bibs preparatory to putting their faces down in bowls of the aforementioned delicacy. These are people who would pretty certainly not get down on their hands and knees in the backyard to try a patch of fresh homegrown growth, and who would feel queasy if offered grass in a French restaurant, grass in the style of suburban Dijon, say. But these same people are so entranced by the notion of Chinese delicacies that they'd have no compunction whatever about sharing grass for four, family style. So, I want it known that Gong can eat grass if he likes. But that, as far as I'm concerned, is where the wild-eyed gourmetism must end. News notes. I'm Harry Reasoner, CBS News.